Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Well, the holiday season, I guess, is officially here because The Grinch came out, number one movie at the box office.
Yes, and it's now on it's the 4DX right now.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So you're going to go see it?
We want to wait a little bit closer towards Christmas. We like watching those kind of Christmas movies. It's too soon to watch a Christmas movie, man.
I hope it's at the 4DX by then, buddy.
I feel like we're going to miss out on our opportunity.
I think you are. Yeah. There's a lot of good movies coming out.
I know. You're right. I should find out when it stops and then plan to go towards the end of it.
Well, W Magazine sent a little girl out. Her name is Kelsey, and they decided, hey, make her a little junior interviewer. And she interviewed Benedict Cumberbatch, and he's the voice of the Grinch. And so she's like, all right, let me go talk to him about the Grinch and maybe a couple other things.
Do you like Christmas?
Yeah.
Do you really know how to ice skate?
Kind of. Not really. Okay. I can do it, but I'm not very good.
I can't do it.
That's hard.
What other jobs you had in the past?
I have worked as a sous chef in a restaurant. I've worked at a perfumeries. I've worked as a waiter. I worked for a bit of charity and done a volunteer work.
What is your favorite movie that you played in?
The Grinch, obviously.
Shut up.
What is your favorite song right now?
My favorite song right now is Young Americans by David Bowie.
Ooh. Good call.
I'm sure that kid has no idea what song that is or who David Bowie is.
I like how he took this interview very seriously.
Hey, come on. He said The Grinch is his favorite movie.
Yeah.
I guess he's playing to the kid.
Yeah. And also, you know, that's what he's supposed to be talking about. So he's a good employee as well.
What's your favorite song right now?
My favorite song right now, you know, it's funny.
Good.
It's right now. It's anything by Queen because I just saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
You hate Queen. Not hate Queen, but you always goof on the music of Queen.
I know, but it got in my head, man. That movie gets in your head. And,
really?
And then there's a part in the movie where someone's telling Freddie Mercury, don't be doing Bohemian Rhapsody. There's no way anyone's going to want to hear this song. It's like all of a sudden now it's like I like Bohemian Rhapsody. Better than I ever have.
That's awesome.
Just because he fought the power.
Because now you know the backstory.
Exactly. Yeah, so...
Wow.
Dude, and there's some other... I forgot about some of the other songs that Queen did.
They've got so many great songs.
I forgot about some of them, and, you know, the movie showed them, and I'm like, whoa, okay. And it was such... I'll talk later about it, but, yeah, the movie... I enjoyed the movie that much that I'm like, you just give me a Queen song, I'm in.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
So, okay, Grinch is number one, Queen's number two.
Yeah.
So what's your take on the Queen movie?
Oh, all right. Well, I'll tell you right now.
Well, yeah.
I liked it a lot. My wife also, who I don't take to a lot of movies because she's really like, you know, she's got very refined taste and doesn't like anything.
I'm remembering that next time you tell me that she poo-poos a show or a movie that I like. I'm like, remember, you say your wife doesn't like anything.
Well, she does, but, well, let me just say she doesn't like anything that you like. I probably should have parenthetically put that
in there. Oh, that's nice. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
But, and she also, you know, she gets real sensitive in movies. Like, she gets really, like, if there's a nervous scene in there, she trips out, where you and I be like, it's not that big of a deal. You watch plenty of movies. Aren't you desensitized to the fact that a cat's going to come out and scare you? Uh-huh. She still squeezes my hand and screams in the movie theater.
Do you ever look at her and go, get it together?
I think it.
That'd be awesome.
A lot. And then, but she really, man, she didn't know much about the Queen story. She felt like a lot of empathy towards him. Also, she loves answers. And the movie left a lot of things open. Like, if you don't know much about Queen, you got to go find out, like, well, what happened after the end of the movie? Like, what's going on with the band and blah, blah, blah. And she's asking me questions. I go, honey, you know I'm not a huge Queen fan. I got no answers for you.
That's funny, though. I love the fact that the movie made you appreciate their music.
Dude, and yeah, it was... It it was well done. It's not a movie about Queen. It really is a movie about Freddie Mercury. Is really what it is. And that's
so funny because I've read people, critics have complained about that it's not enough about Freddie Mercury and it's about the band.
It's totally about Freddie Mercury.
I'm so confused by critics now.
I hate critics. I know. I told my wife that, and you know that's the and I also hate critics because the whole movie starts from his perspective. Mm-hmm. Here's what it is: you're watching a movie based about Freddie Mercury as if you're watching Freddie Mercury's life because there's a lot of ambiguity as to why things happen the way they happen. But if you were like anybody, say you were Brian May, say you were anybody who knew Freddie, all you could do is watch his life. And if he didn't talk much and didn't really, you know, tell you what was going on in his life much, what would you know except by his actions?
Right.
That's what the movie shows us. It shows us all of Freddie's actions, but we follow Freddie around a lot in this movie. You hardly ever really know a lot about his bandmates, except their contribution to the band while Freddie was in the band.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's a total Freddie Mercury movie, but you don't learn a whole lot about why Freddie is Freddie. You just see what Freddie went through.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you kind of make your own conclusions about it? Or?
Yes, I believe, and I think that's intentional, because the story of Bohemian Rhapsody, and they talk about in the movie, is it's ambiguous. Freddie wanted this to be interpreted by people the way you interpret art. You get your own message. We're not going to tell you what it means. And so I thought, ooh, I think right there they're telling you this is what the movie's about. Here's Freddie's life. We're not going to tell you what it meant. What does it mean to you? At least that's what I believe, and I think the critics miss that. And that's why
it sounds like it. If one critic says that the movie's not about Freddie Mercury, and you're telling me that the whole movie revolves around Freddie Mercury, it's
yes.
Are they seeing different movies?
Yeah, they are. Because, okay.
They saw The Grinch, and they were confused. They're like, where's Freddie Mercury in all this?
Well, it's my complaint about critics is they're not about really, like, looking at art. They're about just trying to make themselves famous and be snarky a-holes. I really do. Because how do you not go to that movie and realize it's not about Freddie? I don't know how you can't see that when you watch the movie. It's totally about Freddie.
One texter says, BJ hates critics. Yeah, won't watch a movie without a high Rotten Tomato score.
That's not true.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's not true. I went and I saw Bohemian Rhapsody. I flipped my own script.
That's true, but all the people who texted in maybe twist your arm a little bit?
Well, yeah, I listened to the people because all the users were like, Steve.
I speak for the people.
Steve, you don't speak for anybody.
No, I just saw a movie over the weekend.
Oh, here we go.
Ooh, what'd you see?
Thank you, Rev. I appreciate you asking.
Oh, God.
The Spy Who Dumped Me.
What was that?
I don't even know what that movie is, do I?
Oh, it's the one with Mila Kunis and Kate McMinnon.
Yeah, they were great together.
Oh, yeah. I actually like Kate McMinnon.
I like Mila Kunis, and there's a few scenes where she looks great in the whole film, but there's a few moments where you're just like, bye.
Yeah, just looking at some of the stills right now, I totally get that, Steve.
No, seriously.
Oh,
yeah.
That was honestly, my review. You're looking good.
I can't talk to you guys.
You see the one where she bleaches her hair? There's a part in the movie where she...
Really? Yeah. No, I gotta find that one. Hold on.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a fun film. Yeah. It could have been 40 minutes or so less.
Yeah,
length.
Oh, okay. That's a great review.
It went for 2 hours. This is not a 2-hour movie. It's just a fun, dumb comedy that involves like spies and stuff.
Bohemian Rhapsody went over 2 hours, and it didn't feel like it at all.
Huh?
It was like, you know, I told Kathy, "Go, this is like a 2-hour and something minute movie, like 2:15, I think it is." Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Oh my god, no.
Oh great!"
And then when it ended, she says, I can't believe that was 2 hours and 15 minutes. That went by so quickly.
And the music sounds great on the sound system, I bet.
Yeah, it did. And I went to the best theater I could go to see it, so they had a really good sound system. I didn't even have to go to the bathroom, which I was surprised. Yeah, I was shocked. I couldn't believe it.
That's me. Bohemian Rhapsody. I didn't even have to go to the bathroom.
Dude,
BJ Shea, KISW.
I mean, I did when the movie was over, but you know when, you know, I was so captivated by the movie that I forgot I had to go to the bathroom until the end of the movie.
BJ Shea. I peed my pants during the credits.
And, yeah, dude, Molly and Rami Malek does such a great job. I believe he's singing in the whole movie. I believe that's his voice, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think there was any overdubbing. I think he was doing the voice.
One person says, I love Bohemian Rhapsody. If Rami Malek doesn't get an Oscar, I'll be extremely disappointed.
I agree. I totally.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he does all the singing or not. I wouldn't be surprised though.
Yeah, I have to find that out because it looked like he did. If he didn't do all the singing, what great mastering they did to make it look like he did.
I've read in a couple different places that it was part of his voice. They took part of Freddie Mercury's voice and then they got an impressionist. So it's multiple people.
Yeah. Oh, okay,
yeah, exactly.
Oh well, they did it. I have to tell you, they did a great job because it didn't look like he was lip syncing. It looked to me like he was actually singing, which is why I'm like, I can't believe this is like really him doing his okay.
And the mixed vocals do not appear on the film soundtrack. That's just comprised of original Queen recordings.
Oh, yeah. good.
And if you see the movie, I mean, it shouldn't be difficult because you'll be sitting in your seat, but they actually show some Freddie Mercury footage during the credits, the beginning of the credits. So you're watching the whole movie, seeing, Rami doing his thing. It's nice to see Freddie at the end.
I'm a sucker for that, for any based on a true story movie, when they show the footage of the actual person that the movie was about.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's that person. I mean, granted, Queen's a little bit different. We all know what Freddie looks like, but when it's like about a movie about like a mobster or something, like, oh, that's what that guy looks like. Oh, cool.
Yeah, exactly. It was well done. And well done. And the critics are idiots. That's all I got to say.
Boom.
Why would an old man say this in an interview?
I'm just continuing pounding. She's continuing trying to bite me.
Steve is going to tell you why. He's got the news for you at 6:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9
KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
Most fifth graders have a better grasp of the English language. Unfortunately, there aren't any available this early in the morning. This is News with Steve Migs.
Thanks, guys. Thanks to Oregon State University for giving us news and sports. And it's a big day for Danny V right over there.
What's going on?
It's National Pizza with the Works, except Anchovies Day.
All right. Yay, no anchovies.
We needed another day to celebrate pizza.
Danny's going
to
be very happy.
Why is that?
I preemptively celebrated it on Saturday night, and I'm going to celebrate it today, as a matter of fact.
All right.
Going to have pizza today.
Are you having pizza with Danny yet over the weekend?
No, I'm not going to go with him.
So why is he happy about this?
Because I celebrated his honor. Oh, you know, I did it for Danny. I had pizza for Danny.
Nice.
Thanks, BJ.
No problem, buddy. I appreciated that. So no anchovies. Who has anchovies on their pizza?
I haven't seen anybody do that forever.
Has anyone ever tried anchovies on their pizza? Yeah.
Yes.
Is it bad?
No, it's actually pretty good.
Okay, because I've never tried
it. It's too salty.
I have zero interest in trying it.
Yeah, I love salty things, though. So,
oh, do you?
Yeah.
So does Vicky.
Yeah, fair enough.
Wow. Things just happened.
She told me earlier.
Oh, did she? Oh, she told you earlier.
I like potato chips.
Exactly. Yeah. French fries.
She just randomly goes, hey, Steve.
I love salty products.
I love salty products.
That's exactly how I said it. Spot on.
Yeah.
It's also National Happy Hour Day. So find a place to go enjoy a nice happy hour.
Well, yeah, you probably can get pizza at a happy hour, too.
There are some places that would offer that. Yes, you're absolutely right.
What a great day for Danny.
Yay.
For anyone who likes cheap alcohol and food.
Oh, yeah.
On happy hour.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. All right, well, let's talk about this guy.
Nice.
Who got into a fight with a bear.
Uh-oh.
The dude is 78 years old. His name is Sonny. He's from North Carolina. He was in his driveway last week when he saw a mother bear and her two cubs, and they were coming towards the house. So he does what I wouldn't do, and that's approach the bears and said, hey, get out of here or whatever.
Hey, get out of here.
The cubs ran off when they saw him, but the mother bear attacked him, made a charging run at him.
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah.
Hit Sonny, knocked him back 8 feet.
Whoa!
Sonny gets up and says, not going to handle it that way. I'm going to fight this bear off, and he did so by punching the bear in her nose.
Whoa!
Here's Sonny talking about what happened.
And I just happened to look around, and there's three bears right there beside me. She made a charge and dead run at me. That sucker was eyeball to eyeball to me. I hit her right dead on the point of the nose the first shot. And when I did, she went down and started trying to bite me right here. So I'm just continuing pounding. And she's continuing trying to bite me. And like I said, she got a hold of me and shook me a little bit. And then she let go and then she took a swat at me. I could have been dead. I could have been really cut up bad.
What kind of life is this guy leading? All the things he described should make him dead.
And he also included a description of what happened to Vicky on Friday night.
I'm just continuing pounding. She continuing trying to bite me.
And it was a great time.
There you go.
I like things that are salty.
A cop in Florida was trying to kick a guy out of a park. I guess it was closed on Tuesday night. The guy didn't want to go, so the cop was going to write him a citation for trespassing. And here's where the story gets awesome.
Oh, cool.
The cop's like, well, what's your name? He says, my name is Ben. Last name, Dover.
What?
Bend over.
Okay.
He gave the cop the middle finger and ran off.
Hi, Mr. Dover. Oh, I've always wanted to meet you.
Apparently, it wasn't very fast because the cop caught him.
Yeah.
And shocking, his name is not really Ben Dover.
Are you sure?
His real name is 20. Aww. He's a 22-year-old by the name of Andrew Layton. Not even close. I don't know where he came up with Ben Dover.
Yeah, you think it's maybe his middle name is Ben.
He was arrested for giving a fake name and resisting arrest.
Yeah, my name is Benjamin. Benjamin Dover.
Oh, speaking of Ben Dover, the Seahawks.
No, talk about it. No!
Come on, guys.
No! Don't talk about it.
Enough of these close games that do not end up in the win category.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this has just been a rough season. I mean,
we're seeing a formula, at least.
What? That they're going to get the greatest participation trophy ever for a football team?
That's exactly what we're seeing.
Okay. I mean, I'd imagine this is good for next season. You know? I mean, I guess there's still hope.
I've got a fearless prediction you're not going
to
believe.
All right. Well, anyways, they lost 36-31, made a run towards the end where it looked like maybe there was going to be a chance, and of course it doesn't happen. Just to put it in perspective how the season has gone for them, they've lost by, obviously they lost by 5 yesterday. They lost by, in all of their losses, 3 points, 7 points, 2 points, 8 points, and now 5 points. So obviously they're in every game that they lose, but it's just been a rough go. They're now 4-5, and they have to turn it back around, and hopefully they could beat the Green Bay Packers, and maybe there'll still be some sense of hope. Tyler Lockett, you know, he had a good game, although at the end, man, wish he was maybe a couple inches taller so he could have caught that damn ball. He obviously sounds pretty frustrated when he talked to Q13 after the game.
Man, it just hurts that we got so close again. You know, you look at back at last week, then you look at this week, it's like we're right there, but we just got to figure out how to finish and bring it home. The biggest thing is that we know that we could compete with anybody. We know that we got one of the toughest physical teams, and we see it every time we go out there and we play, whether we run the ball, whether we pass the ball, we execute on the first drives. We're doing a lot of great things. We just got to figure out how to be able to win at the end.
And he's right, man. They're in every game, and they're a fun team to watch. It's just it just breaks your heart when the game ends, and you're like, Pete Carroll seemed a little optimistic. Obviously, he's got to keep that energy going with the team.
A lot of games at home coming up. We have all kinds of opportunities. We got to bring this thing together a little bit tighter. We got to do the things that we've been doing. But with the fight that we've shown, the competitiveness that we're all about, is going to give us a chance to do something really special if we keep hanging and we keep believing. And that's the message. And there's no negative here. There's no negative coming out of this thing. There's always opportunities that do better, and we have to figure out how to capture those.
One of the highlights, of course, was Rashad Penny. Rushed for 108 yards, had his first touchdown because Chris Carson was injured. There was no DJ Fluker, and the offensive line still made it work on the run game, although some of those sacks was like, come on, guys. But anyways, they got to turn it around. They're hosting the Green Bay Packers for Thursday Night Football this Thursday, and we'll see what happens with the Seahawks.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
I've got a bold prediction.
Go Hawks.
We are not going to lose another game.
I hope you're right, man.
We're going to go undefeated, including an amazing, defining victory over the Kansas City Chiefs, where people are going to go, okay, here is your playoff favorite. Here's the team no one's going to want to play as they're a wild card team. I don't see the Seahawks losing another game. Obviously, if they do, yeah, they're out of it. But there's a stat that was thrown out yesterday. Maybe I read it wrong, but I was like, whoa. Since game 3, they are the leading rushing team in the NFL.
No, you're right.
So I look at that. I look at the fact we're getting an insider trader boy back, right?
Kendricks towards the end of the season.
We're going to get him back.
Insider trader boy. That's actually on the back of his jersey now.
It should be.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, dude. I am telling you.
I hope you're right, man. And I keep thinking that, too, but then they keep...
Well, these are two tough teams. The Chargers and the Rams are really good teams.
I know
and
that. So are the Panthers.
And here's the thing they didn't have. Here's the thing. The Panthers are okay, and the Chiefs are definitely a great team. Everybody else is okay in my book.
Okay.
No one is near as good as the Rams are. No one is near as good as the Rams are except the Chiefs, as far as I'm concerned. That's the only real team that they have to worry about. If they lose to anybody else on this run, then they don't deserve to be in the playoffs anyway. But, Steve, they also, last two games...
The Panthers are okay, and they're 6-3.
Oh, yeah. They're okay. Yeah, they're okay. Yeah. They're not as good as that record will tell you. I think the Hawks will spank them all over the field.
I hope you're right. I absolutely hope you're right.
Here's the thing. They haven't had a takeaway in the last two games, minus one, and that's why. And Pete Carroll said, if we're not minus one in the takeaway game, we actually win both those games. And I agree with
him. Sure. Oh, yeah. That strip sack.
Yeah.
That was devastating.
Devastating. So my point is this. Great rushing, and our defense can't be any worse than it was as far as the takeaway game goes. I think that I really don't see us losing another game. And like I said, people are going to be like, oh, my God, they destroyed the Chiefs.
I hope you're right, man. I hope you're right.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it could be all, they could be 4-6, on Thursday.
But at this moment, I just hope that they could come back quick and just spank the Packers. That would be nice.
You heard it here first, buddy.
Okay.
I'm kind of like you with the Mariners.
With the make-em-ups. I like it. I respect the optimism.
I think they're going to be 11-5. I really do.
You know what I loved over the weekend? Did you catch any of the Bears game?
No.
Their kicker hit the upright four times in the game.
Oh, man.
How is that impossible? I mean, that seems impossible. He deserves a medal for that.
Yeah. I've never even heard of it, like someone doing it three times.
I mean, obviously, they wanted to go through the uprights, but still, that is incredible. The Bears, I believe, they won 34-22, but that's just like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
How do you make that happen?
Damn.
I thought that was weird. Cougs won. Big win for them, 31-7 over Colorado. As far as weather, 55 degrees. We got some sun, and thank you, Car Toys, for news and sports.
You're welcome, Steve. All righty. Well, yesterday, Steve, I should say on Friday, yesterday, Steve was sleeping.
This time in the morning? Yeah, I was barely waking up.
But on Friday, Steve got this one right. But, again, you only get so many guesses on Beat Migs.
Yes. What color is the legendary Hope Diamond?
The Hope Diamond is green.
No.
Pink.
No.
Red.
Nope.
High blue.
Yep.
Honestly, Steve, if you just guess primary colors with colors, you'll always be a winner. But you know. 11-5, Steve. That's going to be the record.
Mark my words, Stevie.
Dude, I hope you're right. You want a shot at beating Steve, you got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 647 on The Rock.
Today's podcast is brought to you by bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne, who's ready to answer your questions about bankruptcy. Travis, is it true that if you filed for bankruptcy once, you can't file again?
Even if you filed bankruptcy before, you can almost certainly file bankruptcy again. Different types of bankruptcies have different time limits between filings. In Chapter 7, full bankruptcy, you can only file Chapter 7 once every 8 years. However, you can almost always file a Chapter 13 case. Chapter 13 cases can be filed immediately following a Chapter 7. They can be filed immediately following a prior Chapter 13 case. Chapter 13 is a reorganization plan, so there will be some type of monthly payment, but it's based on your budget and your ability to afford that payment. So Chapter 13 is an option in almost all cases, even with a prior bankruptcy filing.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.